Welcome to the Heal and Restore podcast, where we engage in open and honest conversation about spirituality, marriage, family, and the struggles and victories we encounter on this journey we call life. Our goal is that you will find a new way of living as you look closer at yourself in these areas of your life, which will lead to a new, happier, and healthier you. Now, here's your host, the power couple, Randy and Kathy Boyd. Greetings and welcome to this episode of the Heal and Restore podcast with your hosts, Randy and Kathy Boyd. I will say on this episode, Kathy is not with me. She has gone back to the Coachella Valley to for my niece's baby shower. So she's back there and she wanted me to tell you all hi. She'll be back on the next episode as always. But this is the fifth Monday of January, and as you know, we've been talking about goals in January. So, beings, this is the fifth Monday, we're going to do a little bit something different. As you know, this podcast, we talk about all things spiritual, addiction, trauma, and marriage. Those are our main points that we really like to dive into. As the reality is, they all intertwine with each other in one way or the other. Relationship issues usually resolve from some trauma that's happened, whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional, or sexual. We carry those wounds into our marriage. So one thing I want to say is that I was thinking about this morning, during my teenage years, I will say, after my father passed away, and we had my stepfather and my mother both. I grew up under the authority they both had over me, and they used their authority in a vicious way. They became born again Christians, and back in the 70s, it was all about submission. And so it was pretty tough, both on my mother and myself. My brother seemed to escape it all. So the one thing that, and I'm not going to talk about that today. The one thing that I really wanted to do was dive into, once that I got sober, was on my recovery journey and started looking back and getting close with God again, I told myself I was going to dive into scripture, and essentially the scripture that I was diving into is the ones that were used to justify the beatings and such that I would receive from my stepfather and the emotional beatings from my mother. And unfortunately, these scriptures, you don't hear them preached about in the proper manner from the pulpit. Matter of fact, I've never heard them preached about, period. And that's because they have some significant consequences that are included within the actions that one might take. And the one in particular I'm going to talk about today is Proverbs 13:24. Now, I've done a lot of research on this, and actually this is something I've wanted to talk about for quite a while, and I just haven't done it, but I don't go into these scriptures lightly. I really want to dive into them. I do my due diligence. I do my research on them, and I don't just look at one. I look at quite a bit of information, and they all seem to come to one conclusion. So the one now, the main scripture right here I'm going to talk about today is Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son. Those are pretty harsh words. Hate is a pretty harsh word. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now, there's a lot in the scripture. Even pastors will preach from the pulpit that the rod is to be used to punish your kid, to spank your kid. It's okay to spank your child, to hit your child, so to speak. And there's really nowhere in the Bible that it tells you to hit your child. In fact, Jesus says, come to me like in a childlike form. Jesus never once hit a child. So let's dive into this. What exactly is the rod? And I'll talk a little bit about the staff, but the big thing today is the rod that people assume is a twitch or a hand or any other thing that you can use as a belt, any other thing you can use to strike a child. The reality is that, and biblically, the rod is a symbol of authority and protection. Okay, because a person has authority over you doesn't mean they can hit you. It's a tool of protection and a symbol of love. A symbol of love. So this, if you want to see what love is, you got to go to 2 Corinthians, I think it's 13:4, somewhere in there. It's not fresh in my mind right now, but 2 Corinthians talks and gives the exact definition of what love is. And nowhere in there does it say to hit a child. The rod was used by the sheep herder to defend against the wolves, the lions, the tigers, the whatever it was that was attacking his sheep. He used that rod. It was about 4 feet long, either a heavy piece of wood or a piece of iron to beat off those enemies. Okay. It's the power of God. So the rod that we have as a father is the power of God, right? The power of his word, his love, right? Because they're all symbols of love and power, right? The rod is used to defend the sheep against predators. Well, who are sheep? We have the sheep in the herd, the animal. And if you're a shepherd, whether it's over a church, whether it's over a child or a grandchild or nephew or niece, okay, the children are the sheep. The rod is used to protect the sheep. We're all God's sheep, right? It's the absolute power of God is what it is. Because only God can protect us against such enemies. It's the sign of God's everlasting faithfulness and love. That's what it is. Everlasting faithfulness and love. We have to understand it. And is not used, the rod is not used for punishment in the sense that people think it is. Right? Punishment does this. Punishment inflicts a penalty or sanction on someone or retribution for an offense, especially a transgression of a legal or moral code. So the rod, in its definition, is a power of God used to protect his sheep. We pray over our children. We don't beat them. We sit and talk with our children when they've made a mistake. That's how they're going to learn. We have a conversation with them. You can't blame society today because these are generational curses that have been handed down for many, many years. So the power of God with our children is not a rod that we think is we're going to hit our kids with or beat our kids or spank our kids with or abuse our kids with. Emotional abuse is every bit, if not worse, than physical abuse. So belittling your child because they made a mistake is devastating. They're going to carry that wound with them forever until somebody comes along and helps them out of that pain. We need to understand that we have to discipline our children. Absolutely. And that's a topic for a whole nother podcast. Right? Discipline is different than punishment. Discipline is before the fact. It's before the fact. Why are we punishing our children for something they don't know they're doing wrong, that they don't know the consequences of. See, if we give our children a choice and let them know the consequences that they make the wrong choice, then it's on them. But that still doesn't justify belt hitting a kid with a belt, with a twitch, or whatever. Those of you out there that says, you know, I was hit with a belt all the time, beat up on my old man all the time, and I'm okay. Well, I've sat down with a lot of people like that, and they're not okay. They're messed up. They're hurting deep inside. When they actually go back and sit with that child that was being beat, being them, they sink in their chair. They're devastated. They don't want their children to feel the same pain they felt. But until they become aware of that, they're going to keep doing it. It's learned behavior. So pastors need to start preaching these things from the pulpit and not getting up there saying, well, I spanked my kid and blah, blah. Tell me in the Bible again. Show it to me scripturally. I challenge you to show me where it says to hit your child, to spank your child. If you can prove any of this that I have here wrong, let's have a debate about it, because I'm not just pulling this out of the air off the top of my head. This stuff I research over and over and over again. This scripture, Proverbs 13:24, says nothing about punishment. The word punishment doesn't even exist in this scripture. And punishment and discipline are two different things, completely different. People like to cherry pick stuff. I mean, even in the program of AA, they will cherry pick that big book of Alcoholics Anonymous to justify their behaviors. They'll find something in there in order to justify their behavior. Well, it's the same thing with the Bible. People cherry pick what they want to read in the Bible. They don't dive into the context. They don't dive into the true meaning. I have to say this. One of the best things I learned in college, the best things, was my English professor. And he said this. He goes, if you're reading or you're writing and you come across a word that you don't understand the true meaning and context of it, stop. And look it up before you go any farther. Look up the definition. Look up the true meaning. Look up the context so that you're fully aware of what you're saying and what you're reading. Who does that? People go to church. Pastors are God to them. They take everything a pastor says as gospel. And there's a lot of good pastors out there, don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you right now, I have yet to find one. And that's my own personal experience. I'm not talking about anybody else. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes, and I understand them. Discipline is a virtue that allows a person to exercise self-control. Say that again. Discipline is a virtue that allows a person to exercise self-control. It's to instruct, correct, chastise, rebuke. It allows a person to exercise self-control. It instructs, it corrects, it chastises, and it rebukes. Now, it does not mean punish or hit, beat, or abuse a child. Okay? Chastise. It means to criticize someone strongly. So yeah, if your child makes a mistake, we have to criticize them strongly. But that doesn't mean belittling them. That doesn't mean calling them names. That doesn't mean telling them they're going to be worthless. It means correction. Sit down and talk with them. I don't care if they're 2 years old or they're 17, 18 years old. They're still your children. Talk to them about what went wrong. Ask them. Understand where they're coming from. Help them through the issue. Correct their behavior by having conversations with them. abusing a child in a form of emotional or physical is not going to work. I'm telling you, you think it might, but it doesn't. If you're one of those ones saying, well, I'm fine, go look in the mirror and really answer that question. Have a deep dive into who you think you are. And believe me, I've heard that from a lot of people. And when they get right down to it, they're not real happy about the parents they grew up with. Now, our job isn't to make them hate their parents. Our job is to help them love their parents in a way they never could before. And that can be done with just a little bit of work. Now, the word hate in here, right? And this is Solomon writing the scripture. Okay. God's not about hate. God's about love. So if you're saying that you spare the rod, the correction of God, you hate your child, you know what you're saying? Do you really know what that scripture's saying? It's a really, really, really strong word. It means this: hate. Poison that destroys from within, providing bitterness that eats away at our hearts and our minds. If you haven't experienced this, and if you haven't got real with yourself, that is a true definition of hate. And I'm one that experienced it for 38 years. And it's a miserable place to be. And I wouldn't want that for anybody. I don't want it for my children. I want my children to love me and respect me. And I've earned that love and respect by the way that I raised them. I didn't go around beating my children and belittling. I made a few mistakes, believe me. But even the day they'll tell me, Dad, you've always been a really good dad. So don't beat yourself up for the mistakes you made. So tell me again how sparing a rod, the love of God, the faithfulness of God, the protection of God, how that says I hate my child. I could probably love him better if I'm not disciplining him. I understand that. Yeah. But the other thing that happens in today's world is this. Is that, and I was guilty of this to an extent, and there's other people that I work with that have been guilty to this extent, is that we don't want our children to grow up feeling the things we felt as kids and teenagers and young adults. So what do? We go too far the other side. Just the opposite of what we got, we give them. And it's unintentional. It's not like we want to spoil them. We just haven't had anybody, until we do, to help us come to that balance point in our life with the way we raise our children, the way we treat our spouse, the way we treat ourselves. Right? So it's finding that balance point. And, you know, and there's so many parents that are guilty of this in today's world. Harsh punishment, you need to understand this. You really need to understand this. Harsh punishment produces hate in a child's heart. Man, I can tell you that the punishment that I received from both my stepfather and my mother produce such a profound hate and bitterness and resentment towards both of them. And it wasn't until I got in recovery and worked on my steps and got to a place of forgiveness that hate and that resentment went away. Don't fool yourself. Do you want your children to love you out of respect? Or do you want your children to love you out of fear? And this is biological children, stepchildren, or the children of the church. And by children of the church, I'm talking the infants in Christ. I grew up in fear. And I tell you one thing that I didn't want to do is I didn't want to fear God like I feared him as a child. I respect God. And because I respect God, because out of the reverence for God, respect for God, then there's a fear behind that. But my main thing is I respect God, because if I don't respect God, there's a lot that can happen to me. So I don't want to call it fear. I want to call it respect, because I know the results if I don't respect God. Again, go back to the word hate that's in here. Heart's punishment produces hate in a child's heart. In other words, we feel an intense or passionate dislike for someone. There's a lot of people right now with a lot of hate in their hearts walking around in this world. A lot of people. Proverbs 3:12 says this: "For whom the Lord loves," okay, for whom he loves, not hates, "for whom the Lord loves, he corrects." Doesn't punish, he corrects. "Just as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." So it's not hate if you don't correct your son. It's not being obedient to Christ. It's not allowing God's love to flow through you. Or maybe in some cases it is hate that you don't discipline your child or correct your child. You know, I used to hear all the time, "I wish you weren't even born." What kind of words are those? You know, but God corrects, doesn't punish his little ones. Now, we are his little ones, whether you want to accept it or not. And this is, you know, you're going over here to the Proverbs 13:24. "He who spares the rod hates the son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." So let's go over to Psalms 23:4 in the Lord's Prayer. And this is, it's there's more before this, but I'm getting right to the point here. It's towards the end of 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for you are with me." And this is the key. "Your rod and staff, they comfort me." What is it, people? What is it? The rod and staff comfort me, or the rod and staff punish me? It can't be both. Either God is everything or God is nothing. And this is King David writing this. The rod is used for correction, a gentle correction. The staff is used for when it's the crook on the shaft. When the sheep gets going off trail, he gently grabs the sheep by the neck and pulls them back into the flock, or uses the other end and just taps them back into the flock. The staff is used to keep everything going in the right direction. And like I said, the rod is used for protection. It's real simple. The love of God is going to protect us in those dark times. So there's some consequences that I've never heard these from the pulpit before. And I'm really believing that people are afraid to hear the truth, or that pastors are afraid to offend people when they talk about these scriptures and fear that they're going to lose some of their congregation, which we shouldn't be afraid. If we're going to lose our congregation, well, it's not our fault. Well, we're not doing it. Pastors aren't doing it. The people are making the choice themselves. We have to speak truth to our congregations, to our flock, to our followers. We have to speak the truth. Whether they want to hear it or not, they need to hear it. There's two scriptures. It's one scripture found in two different books. Matthew 18:6. Take heed to this. Okay. You need to take heed to this and let it burn into your heart and into your mind, because this is a heavy consequence. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, a millstone weighs about 1,629 pounds. 1,629 pounds. That's a 3/4 of a ton. Yay, you're not returning from that. In one of the commentaries I read, Jesus is saying you'd be better off dead than hurting one of my kids, one of these little ones. Right. Mark 9:42. It repeats. It's that powerful and that important of a scripture. It's repeated. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him that if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned, thrown into the sea. Fathers, parents, grandfathers, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, brothers, pastors, ministry leaders, take heed to these scriptures. You need to be careful with your words and the way you treat people. Little ones, okay? Because I want to know exactly about little. The first thought of little ones is little kids, right? The true disciples are those who are literally and figuratively the infants who are open to the love of God and who accept that are all children of God. The true disciples of Jesus, whether young or old, who are identified by their childlike trust in God. Childlike means genuine belief in the goodness of others and the reliability of the world. A metaphor for trust, dependence, and love, and an encouragement to ask for what we need. Pretty powerful definition. When you drive a person to this kind of bitterness and hate, what you're doing is you're breaking the trust in humanity. You're breaking their trust in God, because you are the Godhead, as a pastor, as a father, as a grandfather, as an uncle, as a mentor. You are the Godhead they're looking at. And that's why there's so many issues with people and God. Because we're supposed to believe in a God in heaven that we can't see, that's all loving, all kind, all forgiving, non-condemning. But yet, we don't see him. And this is a fact. This has been written about. We don't see him. It's just some entity up there. We're supposed to believe in. But yet, the Father that was right here on earth, that God gave to us, the Father that I can visibly touch and see, condemns me, won't forgive me, abuses me, belittles me, beats me, rapes me. And you want me to believe that there's a Father in heaven that I can trust and believe in? I've heard it from people. That's an issue, people. We need to wake up. People turn from the church. Well, you know, the reality is this, is that we all have to make our own choices. But there's a lot of hurt people in the church. A lot of those people have been hurt by churches in the past. And those wounds don't go away easily. And there's a reason for it. We have to remember this, that Satan the enemy, the devil, whatever you choose to call him, he will use whoever and whatever he has to turn us from God. Whatever means he will use. Pastors, parents, grandparents, he will use them. He knows our weaknesses. I'm not saying we got to walk around on eggshells. That's not right. We have to be mindful of our tongue. We have to be mindful of the words we choose with people. We have to be mindful of the things that we tell people we'll do and don't do. We have to be mindful of our own pain. And pastors, pastors are walking on that platform full of a life of childhood pain. And I know people don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. And because they haven't resolved their pain, they think they have, but they haven't. Oftentimes, that pain gets cast on to the congregation. Just as within a home, mothers and fathers cast their pain onto their children, and so on and so on and so on. So I know this, the one thing about me that I always said I'm going to do is I'm always going to speak the truth. But I don't speak it without having a knowledge of what the truth is. My truth is my truth. There's certain parts of my truth that nobody can ever take from me. The truth I'm speaking today is truth from the Bible. And again, if you're one of those people that just take what comes from the pulpit as gospel, I suggest that you sit down and take some time when you get home and start questioning it. Start looking at the scripture that's being preached. What does it really mean? What does it really mean? I could go on and on about different things, but today this is what I wanted to talk about. So, I hope you take something away from this. Kathy and I would really, really love to see some comments about our posts. You know, what you feel about them, what you like about them, what you don't like about them, what you'd like to see more of, right? It's like this. I've grown up, and everything I've done, I've never had any feedback. And so what that tells me is that what we're doing is what people want. What I'm doing is right. What Kathy's doing is right. So until we hear different, we can't make the adjustments that we need to make. I can't make the adjustments I need to make. For the last 12 years, I've faced this issue. I talked about abuse. It's a deep subject people don't want to talk about. But it's one that is extremely alive in our society, unfortunately. It needs to be talked about. So, with that, you or your loved ones, you as a couple, or if you know anybody that's struggling within their relationship, struggling with any spirituality, abuse, or trauma issues, reach out to Healing Restore Counseling. Kathy and I, we love what we do. We have a great love and passion to help people. And we're working really hard to give you, the people, what you want to hear, or maybe you don't want to hear, but need to hear. So if you can, we still have our 45-minute discovery session at no cost. Just all you got to do is go to the website. And fill out the contact form and get a hold of us, or just click on the button, and you can register right there. You can click on a day you want to sit down with us, and we'll sit down with you for 45 minutes, sit down and have a talk with you, figure out what you're looking for, figure out you can listen to us, we'll listen to you, make sure that we're a fit for you. Also, we have our books, Heal and Restore, How to Heal and Restore Your Marriage, is available on Amazon, and Healing the Wounded Child Within is available on Amazon and paperback, Kindle, and on Audible. And I have another book written. I'm just working on getting the funds together to get it edited and the artwork done and everything else. And as soon as I get that, as soon as I can get those funds, then I will get that book published. Not sure when it's going to happen, but it will happen in God's timing. Also, we have some upcoming things we're going to start, I believe, probably coming this Tuesday. If not this Tuesday, the following Tuesday, we're going to be doing Marriage Tip Tuesdays. Marriage Tip Tuesday. It'll be a short little live feed we're going to do just on different marriage tips each week. Just a quick little, blip out there so people can see our face and get to know us a little more. So I guess that's it for right now. My wife's not here, so I'm sure I'm missing something. Visit our website, healandrestorecounseling.com, healandrestorecounseling.com, and click on that 45-minute low-cost discovery session, and we'll get to you and figure out how we can help you. All right? But remember this. Nobody tells you they love you today. Randy does, and even though she's not here, I know Kathy does, but more importantly, God does. Be blessed, everybody. Have a great week. This has been the Heal and Restore Podcast with Randy and Kathy Boyd. We'll have a new episode every Monday. Please like us and be sure to press the follow button on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and 5 other platforms. If you'd like to know more about the services Randy and Kathy offer, please visit them at healandrestorecounseling.com. Thank you for spending time with us, and we'll see you next week. And remember, if nobody tells you they love you today, Randy and Kathy do.